I refer to them as the committee. The committee felt that the code should follow existing law here and say that when you raise a defense and you don't necessarily win on your defense, in other words, they find it's unreasonable belief, it should not get you off free. It should not get you off completely, but it should negate what would otherwise be a murder down to manslaughter. That is existing law. And again, you have a belief that you have the right to make an arrest. If the jury finds that it's a reasonable belief, you will be off completely. It's a complete defense. If they find it's an...
You did believe, but it was unreasonable to manslaughter.
No, under the code, right, under the way it's drafted now, they find that you did believe it, honestly, but it was unreasonable. It is going to be murder under the code. This makes it consistent with existing law, manslaughter, and it makes it an affirmative defense. In other words, it says, the defendant has to prove this, that he believed it, and he believed it honestly, though unreasonably. And I personally, you know, I think that this is existing law, and that committee felt pretty strongly about this, that that's how... the code should be consistent with existing law in this regard.
Where do we stand on the cases? Most of the defenses are when they shoot a policeman or something, particularly the ones that aren't in uniform. They said, I thought this guy was a crook. And that's why when he came to my door, I shot him. He hadn't already been tipped off the cop or something, but he blasted him anyway. And he claims later, said, well, I thought he was, these narcs run around sometimes, you know, with beards. So they shoot somebody, and then but they really knew.
Well, then it's not an honest...
Well, but who's going to prove that?
He has to.
Mr. Chairman, in that situation, the defense would have to affirmatively prove it, since it says here, if this was adopted, that it would be an affirmative defense, not just a defense. That is, the burden is not on the state to disprove the defense. The burden under this would be on the defendant. Two things would happen. That is, the jury would have to be convinced that it wasn't a lie, that he really did believe that the person was something other than a police officer, an intruder or something. And that would get him part of the way. If they said, well, he believed it, but it was really unreasonable to believe that under those circumstances, even with this amendment, it would still be manslaughter, you see. If they found out, hell, we just don't believe you, we think you did not believe that at all, what you were basically stating, the guy would get convicted of murder.
I know a guy that just, the guy walked into his hotel room, you know, the guy just got in the wrong room. He's drunk and he's come down, came in the hotel, he opened up. Somehow the door wasn't locked in this old hotel. He opened the door and walked in. Well, this guy thought some burglars was going to get in. He went around the shop again. Maybe he didn't show him next year. Well, it found out, you know, it was an unjustified thing. The guy was just several drunk, staggered in the room, and he shouted when he thought it was time to be wrong. I think that would kind of cover
exactly
the situation. Exactly. You proved that he thought he'd been wrong.
Mr. Chairman, in that example that you just developed, would a jury find that that was an unreasonable belief?
Well, let's assume that they do.
Well, okay.
See, let's
wait a minute. Let's go back for a minute. What is an unreasonable? Is there a definition?
No. That's reserved for a jury.
I mean, that's, you know, you can't.
That's what jurors are for.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one of the. You can't.
They can find that it was unreasonable.
And if they do find it's unreasonable, it's a choice between, the problem is, if they only have a choice between finding reasonable or unreasonable, it puts them in a very strange position, because they're either going to put the guy, they're either going to find guilty of first degree murder, which is 20-year max, 20-year minimum sentence now.
Or just not guilty.
Or let him off completely.
Yeah.
This says, in a sense, you know, you could find him guilty, but not as guilty as, you know, his first degree murder, which would be the 8th felony situation.
The amendment gives the jury the middle choice of manslaughter.
They don't work that way. They say, oh, you have to raise a reasonable doubt.
No, that's important.
No,
it's an affirmative defense.
Defense.
He has to prove it. That's the
reasonable doubt.
No, he has to prove it by preponderance of the evidence.
Preponderance.
Yes, that's the important distinction here. It is not like you're requiring...
The defense attorney in every case will try to prove that the two elements by a preponderance of the doubt, that is, that the guy really believed it and that the belief was reasonable.
Right.
The jury would have to find both elements in order to let him off completely, and would have to find that one was not there in order... that is the reasonability in order to find him guilty of manslaughter, and or just basically find that the defense had not prevailed in verdict.
You don't see this as a big loophole.
Okay, this makes it existing law.
All right. Yeah, and this we have never discussed this in this committee because it wasn't in the draft that was submitted to the legislature by the commission. Although the commission considered it and it excluded it on a narrow vote, and Mr. Hickey supported it because it was an original bill too, and it was existing law. Many of the recommendations that we received were, you know, why are you changing existing law when there's not been a problem? You know, and they argued that on several things, and we'll get to some more today that are arguments were made. Mr. Cartman.
They would have constituted a justification for killing under
That's the sections on use of non-deadly force and use of force in defense of self, use of force by a peace officer in making an arrest, defense of property, all the sections on when you could use force.
Remember, we basically said people could use force in most cases the same way that a police officer can.
So really, this additional affirmative defense gives me the option of acting in self-defense even if I'm unreasonable.
Yeah.
You
really believe that it was unreasonable.
Yeah, but the distinction is that you're not going to get off. You're going to be, you're not going to be found guilty of murder, you'll be found guilty of manslaughter.
Well, it could also go the other way. I mean, it could go that you're not going to get convicted.
No, because this only says you raise it. Okay, number one, you raise a defense, that's self-defense. The jury finds it was reasonable, you're off. Because that's how it's always been. Then you're guilty of manslaughter.
No, but I mean, whereas before that you would have been guilty of
murder. Exactly.
So it does go both ways.
But they have to find really that you believe that that was the case. They have to find that before you even get down below the level of murder. And then they address the issue, was it a reasonable or unreasonable belief?
Well, it cuts this way in this sense, is that you have the argument of justification, self-defense, all that now. And the jury has the cases either get you for first degree or let you off. And if they're sympathetic, you may get a hung jury or whatever, something, you know, one person just doesn't see giving you 20 years, right? So you may end up getting off. So it cuts the other way in that sense. Maybe you can find some people. All right. Okay. The motion to move Amendment D. Any further discussion? Is there any objection? All right, all those in favor of the amendment, raise your right hand. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the motion carries 6-1.
Okay, the next one, it's not going to be very...
You don't vote there,
next one is not going to be controversial.
The day went before you saw us, Barry?
No, how to
okay. Right, this just repeals the sections on assault and says there's no. What this does is, on page 8, We define what serious provocation is for purposes of mitigating a murder to manslaughter. All the amendment does is on line 6 of the amendment, it adds the word sober, all right? So the guy that's intoxicated is not going to say, well, it was a serious provocation because I was intoxicated. It says it has to be a reasonable sober person, and it's...
Mr. Chairman, I think sober better instead say not a person not intoxicated.
Fine.
Because sober could mean that you're just a very, very...
You're a judge.
Yes.
You mean a reasonable, non-intoxicated person.
So, well, you know, maybe that's not very artful.
That's what sober is. That's what sober may be. I know it sounds...
Well, sober has a whole bunch of other definitions.
You have to define it that way.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Now, I'm sorry, but tell me what this does.
Okay. Okay, we have a defense. I mean, the existing law and under the code, if you say, you know, I got killed under heat of passion, it mitigates it from murder to manslaughter. Okay. Now, in order to raise the defense, you have to prove that you acted under a serious provocation. This section defines serious provocation, and in defining it, it says that it's conduct that is sufficient to excite an intense passion in a reasonable person in the defendant's situation. Okay, in the defendant's situation. Well, that could be arguably interpreted to mean if he's intoxicated, you consider that in determining whether it was a serious provocation. The group felt that that was nonsense, that you should never consider that in determining whether it is a serious provocation. You should be considered as, you know, a reasonable person who's not intoxicated. And they felt that it would perhaps be interpreted as that anyway, but they felt they should add it to exclude that argument.
What are you doing then? You're saying that a person who's intoxicated
is judged on the
standards of the behavior of a sober person as to his reasonable beliefs and the kinds of responses that could result in provocation.
Well,
it's putting a higher standard in time. In other words, you're, it's a, quote, law and order type
in
thing.
In other words, he could...
Let me give you an example. I killed you, right? And I could argue, well, when I'm drunk, I'm easily provoked.
Right.
And we're saying, no, that doesn't matter. I mean, either you were provoked or not, it doesn't matter whether I was drunk or not.
Whether it's reasonable for you to be provoked is judged by the standards of a man who's sober.
Right.
Okay, but...
The question is, was I provoked or not?
Yeah, I understand.
Understanding
that,
all the circumstances.
Are you also saying... There's something that makes me uncomfortable about just not being able to get my finger up.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I would like to have a... I think just saying not intoxicated or something like that, that there's a drafting problem there, and I would hope that we would come back with this language somewhat artful, because should it even be broader than that? Should a person who is under the influence of some drug other than intoxicants...
Well, no, intoxicated would include... Okay, the way you got to do it is, when we go back to... We're coming up to intoxication. What we'll do is we'll define intoxication, include it in drug use...
Well, I was
strung
out on smack.
Oh,
and
no,
the
no.
Guy was, you know.
It would be my understanding that sober would include the drug situation, but we'll do it so that it will.
Well, Mr. Chairman...
Mrs. Redd.
We also do it by just saying reasonable includes being sober.
Mr. Chairman, the reason for my response to Mrs. Rudd's suggestion there is that reasonable is a word you say to the jury. That's why you have 12 people sitting there who are supposed to take into account their 12 different life experiences as to what is really just the what's the proper behavior for common sense human beings. And you don't ever try to subdivide reasonable or come up with a definition. That's for the jury to decide what is reasonable or not. So if we're plugging it in, I don't think we have to plug it in reasonable.
Okay, Mr.
Drake.
I'm really sorry to comment, but there's something about it bothers me. Maybe it's that if we put drunk or sober in there, we also put, we should put sleeping or awake or...
No.
On your birthday or not on your birthday or other things. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And okay, now we can deal with this in another way. Don't add sober. We have a general provision in there that says, we'll get to it, intoxication is not a defense to a criminal charge. Okay, and I read that as meaning, sure, it's not a defense to a criminal charge, and just as long as it's not a defense, it's specifically not a defense here. And this may be something we could do in commentary and just simply say, of course, no provision dealing with intoxication. The committee felt, this group felt, that you probably wouldn't be able to even make that argument here, you know, that you're judged on the basis of an intoxicated person. But yet they felt, well, throw it in, what do you lose? But your point being, of course, is that by specifically listing it, you know, maybe you're including, you see, and at least it may be correct on that, that they may be more appropriately dealt with, number one, in commentary accompanying this provision and in commentary accompanying the section on intoxication.
Mr.
Chairman, I don't think I agree. In the defendant's situation, under the circumstances as he reasonably believed them to be, in the defendant's situation, could then allow the defense attorney, and boy, if it's in there, I'd sure use it as a defense attorney,
but
allow the defense attorney to argue to the judge for a jury instruction that in the defendant's situation means the theoretical reasonable person has had 11 tequilas, because that's the situation the defendant was in. So I don't think putting it in the commentary is going to make it. I think we have to do something in the direction of what this committee recommended to us. I think it's what we've got in this proposed E is unartful. It ought to be a little broader than that. And maybe ask Barry to come back with another proposed...
But you know, you got to decide whether you want to include anything in here.
No. And could we cross-reference the other section in here without putting the word intoxicated?
No. I think what you're going to need to do is say, a reasonable person who is not intoxicated, then we define intoxication as... intoxication includes intoxication from the use of alcohol or drug. That's all you need.
I think that's good. It's a good way, like you always say, I'd rather have it in there than not. And in this sense, this means that it doesn't leave any doubt. even though it may not cover as big an area as you could possibly go on to, at least it covers the 99% of the parcel.
But the thing I'm still groping towards is that if you list one sort of circumstance, then you are, by implication, leaving out other circumstances which may also pertain. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't list it, then you just, I suppose, leave it to the jury, well, he was drunk or not drunk.
But the other thing might.
We can't foresee. I think that's what's bothering me.
So much for my comment about not being controversial.
I suppose, Mr. Chairman,
maybe
what they're talking about can be addressed by his definition of intoxication or intoxicated, if it is so broad as to say voluntary impairment or something like that. Because otherwise, somebody's going to say that because you listed booze and heroin or impliedly narcotics, but not something else, that then you've got to assume that it's a person in the defendant's situation who was under this other voluntary impairment.
Well, see, the only end result is going to be is that what they were worried about is that somebody was going to use intoxication as an argument.
Yeah.
And we're preventing them from using intoxication.
If somebody
else dreams up something else, maybe we can come back and correct at that time. The only thing we'll be doing by not going further is letting them argue something that we haven't dreamed up.
That's right.
We'll at least exclude intoxication as an argument. There may be other things that we should have excluded, but that we didn't because we didn't think of. But I don't think it can hurt to exclude intoxication because we know we want that excluded.
Could you vote on the concept of including it? And I think, frankly, all you need to say is a reasonable person, comma, who is not intoxicated. A reasonable person in a defendant situation, comma, who is not intoxicated. Somewhere along there, put that in and then define intoxication as intoxication includes intoxication from the use of alcohol or a drug. That's how it's defined in our existing law.
Okay, that covers 99%.
Obviously I haven't been able to put my finger on what's going on, and that's okay.
I'm going to move what he just said as an amendment so we have something before us.
Is it possible to say something about, or I've lost track, is it whether we eliminated this terminology? Just another sentence saying not a defense to the defendant?
Well, it'll be hard to work out here. It would be really hard because we're talking about a defense to a prosecution. Yes. No one's saying it's not a defense to, you know, we're dealing with a defense to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And besides,
I wish I could. It's an easy way to do it. But
I think the motion does.
Right, is there any objection to the amendment? The revised amendment
vote
he
maybe,
had
yes,
is
maybe,
a
yes.
Adopted
vote this way.
Of 6.5 maybes.
Okay. Next one is not controversial either. Page 9. If you just turn, it's probably easy just to turn to the bill. We define a person as alive on line 8 if, in the opinion of a medical doctor, whose license are exempt from licensing under that statute. The committee recommended simply knocking out, in the opinion of a medical doctor, up to the statute, the language.
Based on ordinary standards.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you get one medical doctor says the person's alive, that doesn't mean, you know, it should be governed by ordinary rules approved in a criminal trial.
Yeah.
That lets you bring in 1,000 doctors and
something.
Well, yesterday you were complaining that only one doctor could commit a bank robbery.
Well,
on signature.
Okay.
Yes.
Mrs. Rush.
Yeah. If we're going to do that, then what is the point of having a term based on ordinary standards of medical practice? I mean, is it? It seems to me it might be the case that there either is or is not spontaneous.
Oh, I can't argue. I was thinking maybe going even further, you know, along those lines. I don't know.
If there is spontaneous respiratory
diarrhea
function.
I think that's.
I
can't see how it hurts to leave based on ordinary standards of medical practice in.
Because those
change and
kidney machines and all that. I don't know if heart pacers.
All I know is that.
Well, the word spontaneous is very precise in meaning. I mean, it either exists or it doesn't. It's either spontaneous or not. I mean,
Yeah, but there's or there. Or when respiratory or cardiac functions are maintained by artificial means, there is spontaneous brain function.
In other words, there has to be some kind of spontaneous function. And that's very precise. I mean, either it exists or it doesn't. So I would move to amend the amendment to a belief based on ordinary standards of medical practice.
Okay. Everybody has a motion that would read a person is alive if there is spontaneous respiratory, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's a problem.
I think we may have to restructure it. Since that person's alive, he has spontaneous respiratory cardiac function, so you know it's somewhat funny.
As long as you're just changing the language. Do you see a problem with what those
standards are anyway?
Yeah. Okay, is there any objection?
Yeah, I know what the definition means, but I don't know what ordinary standards of medical practice are. And if you were to leave it in, it would be the parade of lawyers going through and experts going through this. Yeah, because then you'd be arguing over what are or are not ordinary standards of medical practice. But if you delete it, the only thing you're arguing about are the rather objectively described standards in the rest of the sentence.
But the only question I have is there a standard procedure for people to have a standard medical procedure to pronounce it somewhat determined for their death?
Well, here we're talking about lies.
The doctor just can't confirm. He can come in and say, hey, that guy's dead. He has to bear a certain standard test to determine.
How about, I have a suggestion. What about simply knocking out everything after act on line 8? Means a human being was born and was alive at the time of the criminal act.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm all for leaving out this opinion of the medical doctor. I'll go along with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any objection then to the motion?
I move the amended amendment.
Mrs. Rudd moved
the whole thing. Yeah.
Is there any objection? Can it not go to the staff as we
know? Okay, this really is a technical one. Amendment G. On page 11 of the bill, we have the term facilitate during the course of the kidnapping, the commission of a felony. This amendment simply knocks out during the course of the kidnapping. It's being inartful and it's unnecessary.
Yeah, that could be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Nice.
We also don't define what kidnapping. We don't refer to kidnapping.
Yeah.
Is the motion been moved and G been moved? Is there any objection? No objection, then it's adopted.
Okay. No,
now this is a biggie. Oh,
you actually didn't turn.
Okay, let me preface this by saying this
was one
where everybody felt that we had changed things so much that there was going to be some real problems in some way. But actually, when we got done listening to all the complaints, the changes that Barry had to make to accomplish some of the things they did really didn't change what we wanted to do.
I'll go through each one,
except I think it may have made it simpler.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I spent some time at the beginning of the meeting. You made very close. I'm usually silent because I was trying to understand what had been done in this section. And there are two requests I'd like to make. One is that you go through, before we deal with what's here, tell me what the problems were that were delineated. And the second request I'd like to make is that we not act on this decision. I really need to kind of look at it. I think it's maybe more far-reaching than you think it is if it's not. So I need lots of time. So I ask your indulgence on that.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, in light of the time, could we just, if Mrs. Rudd wants to do that, could we vote on the amendments other than the things involving sexual offenses and then just take them up by themselves? Maybe also at the time we're considering sentencing or whatever.
It'd be very nice to finish the substance, the non-sentencing provision, so I can start writing the commentary to it. Just get this over with. I'm not saying.
Maybe I will by the end, but I don't think so.
It's not. Okay. Just in terms of, without looking at the statute, the group was concerned about two things. First of all, they were concerned about the effect of the sexual assault provisions on activity that that occurs every day, and that is sexual contact between people that are under 18. And the committee, the group felt that that should be criminal, but it shouldn't be treated as a sexual assault. And they said, let's treat it as contributing. Let's not treat it as a sexual assault. When you say, for example, a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old engage in sexual contact, consensual, you know, they're dating and they may be petting, but that shouldn't be viewed as a sexual assault. It should be contributing. The other thing that they were concerned about was that we define sexual contact very broadly. And under the provisions of the bill, if two people are in a drive-in and it's a boy and a girl, and the boy attempts to fondle the breast of the woman, and he's pushed away and he continues, he's guilty of a B felony. And the committee felt that you should distinguish between sexual assaults, short of penetration, that are serious sexual assaults, and others that aren't as serious, and we attempted to do so. The important thing to note, and it bears mentioning, because I don't think we've gone over it really this year, is that we define sexual penetration extremely broadly. It includes any penetration and conduct which would arguably not be rape under existing law would be included within our first-degree sexual assault provision under sexual penetration. Well, the digital manipulation, for example, when there is penetration.
That means using hands.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
It's not rape.
Any penetration, however slight.
Yeah,
that's
but
in present law.
I don't. Well,
that's
I don't.
That's a definition out of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It's not out of the Alaska statute.
No. That's not correct. I believe Lisa is right, but I believe Lisa that it's. It is. I don't think that the. It's questionable whether it would be interpreted as including the digital. Act.
Well,
okay, but
I think it
okay,
is. I think
but
it is.
But okay.
And if it's not, it shouldn't.
Okay, I agree. Well, it's covered in the code. There's no question about it. It's covered
this
in the code.
Proposals to change.
No,
well,
we're not.
But I think it's in present law,
okay.
And that's one of the things that concerns me about reading this is that I think we're retreating from some of the things that are in present law, aside from what's.
No, we still treat that as penetration.
Digital.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's not.
Only what have you done to it?
Nothing. We haven't changed anything about sexual penetration. The only, I don't want to go into change, let me just put policy things. The other thing was, in terms of our concern about mentally incapacitated people, mentally defective, the group felt that we should be a little more artful in referring to that crime. So what we did is we specified the culpability requirement of the actor. Essentially, you have to know the person is mentally defective. It is not, it's not strict liability, for example. You have to know that the person is suffering from a mental disorder. And that's going to get the situation where you're having the attendant abusing patients in the mental hospital, because he's going to know that that person is incapable of consenting. The other thing was, we covered specifically sexual contact with, say, mentally defective people and intoxicated people. The committee felt that that should be treated as an assault, because we treat it as an A misdemeanor, and that if there's any type of physical injury involved, it would be an assault under the code. But that should not be viewed as a sexual offense. And frankly, I don't think you're going to have too many incidents of, say, sexual contact that falls short of penetration with a person that is, say, mentally defective. It's unlikely to occur, and it occurs to be prosecuted under the general assault provisions. Another change was the committee did not like the indecent exposure statute. They felt, number one,
they didn't spend much time on that one, though.
Yeah, well, but there was a unanimous recommendation on that. One other thing. Another thing was that in incest, we had a very, Chief Barkley pointed this out, that the way we treated incest in the bill was originally drafted, we came down very severe on it, in the sense that we came in with a proposal that said consensual incest between people over 18 is legal. And on the other hand, we came down in a provision that said, however, if you are related in any way, you're going to be treated very seriously. Well, now that we've criminalized consensual incest, it lets us more appropriately look at cases where it should be an aggravating factor of rape, which the amendment does. In other words, we went overboard in treating incestuous conduct as sexual assault, because if we didn't treat it as sexual assault, it wouldn't be treated anywhere. Well, now we have it treated as a C felony in the bill. bill.
So the recommendation is put all incest as incest?
No, not true. Not all. There's
no,
be consistent with existing law. If it's your son or your...
Under 13.
Yeah. No, that's not correct. That's not correct. If it's under 18,
okay,
and it's your son or your daughter, but previously we said it was under 18, it's your niece or something. Now that's still covered, but it's not going to be covered as the age. No, the other thing was is that what we did is we, again, I mentioned to you, sexual contact with a person between 13 and 16 is not treated as a sexual assault. It's treated as contributing. The penalty for it is going to be the same. It's going to be any misdemeanor. It just felt that that should not be viewed as a sexual assault.
Wait a minute. By an adult of someone between 13 and 16?
Yeah, that's consensual. That's consensual. We didn't change the penalty. We simply treated it as contributing.
Well, that certainly changes there. What we have now, a child 16 or under cannot get the penalty. Now we're saying that between 13 and 16, they can have intercourse.
No.
They can consent.
No, we don't. We say that if the
child... What does consensual mean?
The bill does not change anything.
It means you didn't threaten or coerce.
Yes. Yes, the amendment says that, the amendment doesn't change any of the penalties. It simply says that when you're dealing with children between 13 and 16, and it's consensual, it's still an offense, and it's still an A misdemeanor, but it's called contributing. Well,
I need time to think these things.
Do you want to go through it, section by section?
Okay, well, do you want time to look at it and bring it up later?
I know that we've had delays and all, but...
I'm willing to discuss it more. I don't want to.
Okay, do you not want to vote on it today?
I'd rather not vote on it.
I don't think we'll get to any of the other amendments if we vote on this today.
I think you're going to find, frankly, I understand your concern, and I really think that when you sit down and look through it,
maybe I could spend some time with you.
Yeah, I think it's important.
If we're not going to vote on it today, then probably it would be faster to let everybody read it and think about it for a while.
Yeah. Okay, can you turn to page 13? Great. Unlawful exploitation of a minor. Page 13, Amendment K.
Of the amendment.
Oh.
Okay.
Is all that under 6?
Yeah. Now, when you go through it, I'd really like everyone to go through it because it affects the indecent exposure statute as well as... No one had any problems with that.
Really?
No one had any problems with that.
After all that controversy, they didn't have any problems?
I can understand.
So what we've got to study between now and the next meeting is H through J,
right? Pages 8 through 12. Okay, all we did here is on lines 12, 14, and 6, we added the word obscene. The reason being is that this arguably made a big felony for a teacher to put on Romeo and Juliet in a schoolhouse, and it was everyone was unanimous.
Hey,
wait a minute. Schoolhouse teachers, Romeo and Juliet, they got all our attention now.
The only amendments here, again, is on page on line 12, line 14, and line 6. We added obscene. Another reason is that if you had a picture, if someone took a picture of a mother breastfeeding her child, without the obscene, you know, we originally said the touching by another person. I'm sorry, the touching of another person's genitals, anus, or female breast. We made it a B.
What page are we on? What's your amendment page?
Page 15 and 18.
No, page 13.
All right.
13 of the amendments.
Page 13, the numbers are down on the bottom.
You want amendment K.
Okay.
And, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, in the first line. I'm sorry, page 15 of the bill. That's right, Ed.
Okay.
But all it does, if you turn to the amendment,
just adds 3 times the word obscene.
And, and really what it does is, though, it's only 2 times because in number 6 on line 18, we originally had lewd. The group thought that lewd was fairly meaningless and we shouldn't use the word obscene there.
Where is it defined?
We don't. The Supreme Court decides what obscene is.
And what did they decide it meant?
They said that they can't define obscene, but they know it when...
Wait, we're talking about our court, though. We're talking about our court. Our left, the Supreme Court. They haven't, because we don't have an obscenity statute, so they're going to have a few cases here. But I want you to know that unless you add obscene here, what it says...
The whole thing may be struck down.
Not only that, but what you're saying is that you cannot take a picture in this state of a mother breastfeeding her child. That you're making them... Not only that, you're making it a B felony.
That's a good example, and also Romeo and Juliet's a good example, but let's face it, that's not going to be prosecuted.
Oh, it might. I
well, you can't drift, Bill, you can't drift a statute in this area that arguably covers that, because it'll be struck down.
Well,
It's not
well, walking. Now, that's more of an argument.
Well,
that is the fact that, you know, somebody's going
to... Actually, you want to have the recommendation of the group actually was, this is totally unconstitutional. Some felt more, they just laughed at it mostly, but they said, mostly they said, well, we ought to just leave it because it's unconstitutional anyway, and it's going to get thrown out.
Well, Terry, I think it should be pointed out that this is dealing with the exploitation. The next page was the one they laughed at.
Well, no, it isn't.
Oh, this one, too?
Well, now, is there any other terms? What are you lawyers on? Besides obscene now, because if you don't know what the argument is, I'm going around talking to people about obscene. There's not a judge or lawyer in this town that can tell you what obscene is.
That's
why put a word in here that not anybody, including the
okay, you want to add lewd? We could add lewd too, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman,
lewd now is, that's the kind of words I'm looking for. Can you define what lewd is?
No.
Mr. Chairman, we're stuck.
I think we're a good word.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're stuck, and I think that the few people in the committee who are willing to offer any views on how to say this were probably right. If we don't put in something, you know, the word that is being used, that's being litigated, and is being defined in the cases, is obscene. If we use another word, lewd or something else like that, then if anything, there'll be more litigation than necessary. There's already been a course of litigation with regard to what the meaning of that word is. And I think it may even save the section constitutionally. Let's see.
The only changes are in like 12, 14, and 6. Nothing else has changed there.
18.
And 18.
Yeah, 12, 14, and 18.
And we used to have lewd there.
I certainly would go for the amendment.
I think that this situation had the no word's good and obscene's probably better than the others because it's had more.
There's been a course of about 10 years of litigation over what that word means. There haven't been any cases lately over what lewd means, except there was one case on lewd and lascivious, but minus the lascivious. You know, what is it? And I think lewd and lascivious are pretty ancient, silly words.
Well, in 5 years, they'll be saying that about us.
Well,
what if we just, you know, what's left in the statute? I mean, this is another one that's going to settle the books forever.
Frankly, I think what's left of the statute is the statute is left. You know, because you've got, number one, if you get right, number one, four, and five, on lines 12, 16, and 17, there's no obscene there. I mean, the determination is simply that any kid engaging in sexual penetration, masturbation, bestiality, there's no legitimate reason to do that.
There's got to be an obscene, but why don't we define obscene?
I can request legislative affairs to do that, and we come back with a definition. I think that would be a big mistake, frankly. I think you should leave it up to the courts, our courts to decide.
They haven't done it.
But we don't have an obscenity statute. How are they going to do it?
Well, let's define obscene.
I do not have the wisdom of Solomon. Maybe the novelist over there does.
Well, I don't understand. We're saying we're going to solve a problem by using a word that nobody knows what it means. Now that's absurd.
Well, all we know is it doesn't include taking a picture of your wife, breastfeeding her child. That's clear.
Okay.
And it's true. I have trouble telling what obscene means, but I know it doesn't cover the example I just gave you. You know, and you don't want the statute. I mean, it's not good to have a statute like this laughed at. You know, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, if you turn to the next page, it's originally drafted this transportation or distribution section, prohibit the sale of the Bible in Alaska.
Okay, Mrs. Red.
Well, I want to respond to Bill's concern because I have the same concern, but the problem is that we're getting into the whole area of what's in the eye of the beholder. And I wrote to Russ Freeman in Anchorage, when we first got this section way back in January, because I was concerned about his response. He's always opposed any kind of censorship, any kind of limiting. And he sent me back some books that have some paintings by a guy, which I think, I'm not sure I'd describe them in my mind as obscene. Some people would think they're obscene. I think they're just kind of disgusting. Other people think they're art. I mean, they really do think they are art. And that's why it's so hard to determine what obscene means, and I think it's safer to leave it to the court because of this reason. times change and society's view of things changes. And what the courts, as far as I can recollect, have done over the years is try to make some determination on what the general standards of the community where this thing occurred are. And if it's out of sync with those standards, then if it's in sync, it's not.
Okay, well then, if that's the problem, can't we define it we define so many other things as a reasonable person?
Well, that is the next suggestion.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I'm not making a good suggestion here, but what we're talking here about is the same kind of thing when we're talking about indecent exposure. Could we say instead the indecent exposure of another person's or the indecent touching of, and when we could pick up that definition from the indecent exposure of, with reckless disregard.
We don't use that anymore, number one. And I think that is in the reckless disregard, you talk about a constitutional type thing, that's probably why we're knocking it out. I mean, it's so vague. I mean, it's so difficult in this area. And Randy Phillips Bill originally did have an obscenity thing in there. He did not have just across the board prohibition. It's not like it's...
We made an agreement, and I said, we knew all these arguments. These are not new arguments. They've been going on for years, but we were going to test what the Supreme Court ruled, whether we could deal with children, 16 and under, whether they're 13, 16. Now, that was a test that I wanted to make. Rather than us make the decision that the Supreme Court would say that we can't deal with children.
This is not dealing with the question. I know what you're getting at.
Chairman, there was some kind of a deal made. I wasn't part of it.
It doesn't deal with what you're bringing up. The statute is drafted, again, applies to me taking a picture of my wife breastfeeding her kid. And it makes me a B felon. If I put that in a book and I distribute that and I call it, you know, the joys of motherhood, I would be guilty of a B felony here.
You won't be guilty of a lot of these laws if you take your girl without driving, you're talking about, no. You know, somebody wants to go back.
Well, we should get there. There's a law like that, then we should change that. But all I'm saying is that, again, you know, that's a really powerful argument why you want to have that obscene provision in there. And right. Leave it up to the courts.
Let me get that one back. I understand what you're talking about. And I'm sure you know what you're talking about, the law standpoint. But why can't a state legislature sit down and say what's the thing?
Oh, you can. And I said, if you'd like me to, I can.
We can't.
Why not?
Because we can't think of everything that might be obscene, and if we leave it out, then it's obscene.
Well, what's that one that the Supreme Court said something about that offends a normal person in a community, or if they had lack of social value and redeeming social value. I mean, they had one somewhere, of course.
But it changes that every year.
Mr. Chairman, the course of cases on this thing over the last 15 years has been
up or down. I think
we'd be really, we would be postponing passing anything for 5 years if we started arguing over the definition of our Senate.
We sure would.
I'll tell you what my position is, that, you know, Ed, if you like it without it in there, it isn't going to bother me, but I'm never going to be the guy that stands up and defends these things as being constitutional or wonderful or anything else. I'll say this is the committee's will. Which I said this weekend.
I don't want to write into this code something that's vague, and that's the only reason to redo
it. Yeah, that's it. And
the proposed amendment may save much of the statute constitutional. Move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the amendment was moved. Is there any objection?
Just for the record, I'm going to object.
Okay, there's an objection. Mr. Decker objects to obscenity. Motion carried.
Look, on the next page, the same. This is the same amendment with the obscene there. But the only difference is here is on line 10, we say that the pics, then we added the word by means other than words, because depiction includes written depiction.
Which, of course, was.
Which we prohibited the Bible.
And the Oxford Oxford. Where are we now?
Page 14 of the amendment.
14.
Page 14, amendment L.
Well, I've got page 79 amendment L.
The numbers are down the bottom.
Well, I keep talking about numbers in there.
Yeah, okay,
we passed. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Again, the only difference, the only change here is we added by means other than words and the same scene. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
right. Well,
I move the amendment.
All right. Has everybody got the right place now?
Yeah.
Amendment L, it's on page 79 of the bill. Line 10 there, by means of the word. Is there a motion?
I move the amendment.
Is motion to adopt amendment L? Is there any? Okay, the next amendment, M, page 34 of the bill.
Terry, this was something everybody, I believe, was unanimous on. The criminal possession of forgery device, as originally drafted, turned to page 34 of the committee, really now the committee substitute, I guess, the proposed committee substitute. We had on line 12 to 15, you're guilty of the offense if you possess with knowledge of its character any device, equipment, or article specifically designed for use in counterfeiting or otherwise forged and written instruments. The problem with that is that it, even though you never intended to use the device for forging the written instruments, or it may have been in an antique slot machine, or you had it on your wall, you would be guilty of the offense. This requires that you intend to use it, or aid or permit another to use it in order to be guilty of the offense.
Well, wait a minute, but we're talking about, you said slot machine?
I thought you told me that we took care of antique slot machines.
This were a forgery device. Now I was giving the comparison. No. I was giving the example. The problem was that this has nothing to do with slot machines. It's simply a forging device.
from 1889 is just beautiful and put back.
Exactly.
Okay, Amendment M, is motion been made?
I'll move it.
Is there any objection? Yeah, motion is adopted.
Okay, sir, just one question, because if I can ask about that. You didn't say in here that a lot of plates and dyes and other things, you can have those in your possession now.
That's the important thing about the amendment. You have to prove an intent to use or to aid another to use it for purpose of forgery. It doesn't get, if you happen to have ink in your house, you're not in violation of the statute.
Yeah, we're not talking about ink, we're talking about plates and stuff.
Well, it says apparatus, other devices, that can include ink.
Right, it was much too broad.
This is very similar to antique slot machine.
Well, dye, that's not what we're talking about, that's D-Y-E. This is something else, the dye is a mold.
It's a mold.
A D-I-E is a mold, a D-Y-E is ink.
Oh, that's not, yeah, okay. Well, okay, no.
I think other device apparatus would include ink anyway.
Terry.
If I had in my home a dye set up there, please catch me with a dye that makes the last of driver's license. I could run off labor where you get up here and you need resident cards. And I've got a nice machine that dyes all the stuff to make the last of resident cards or driver's license. And the police catch me with it, I've got a complete setup to run these off. That's legal.
No.
No, it's legal unless they can prove that you intended.
And you intended to use it or aid another to use it for purpose of forgery. Now you got to decide. You could.
The diet itself would be enough to show anything.
Well, all right. Now that's what the bill is drafted. I mean, the committee substitute is drafted says you got the dye or the plate or any other device that is specifically designed for forging. You're going to be guilty of the crime regardless of your intent, mere possession. Now it was felt that you should have a specific type of intent requirement here, an intent to defraud or whatever. Your point, of course, being, well, why do you have that license plate thing in your house? Well, the thing is, arguably, the statute covers more than that, and it's conceivable you may have something that's specifically designed for forging things, and you don't intend to use it. It's simply, you know, it's antique or whatever, and you've got it in your house.
Or you're a police officer.
And I would think that, or you're a police officer, that's right. And the thing is that, I think that if you find that in your basement and you've got, you know, the dye for licenses, I think it's going to be very easy to show that you intended to use or to aid another use it for purposes of forgery.
Yeah.
I don't think the intent requirement is...
The jury will get an instruction on circumstantial evidence, and what they'll really do is they'll take into account the mere possession and say, what if God's green earth reason was each of the actors for us, hardly a collector's item or anything like that.
The patent better to forgery,
no, I don't think
that gets you for having
ink. So, and there are sections that could get you for having ink unless we amend it.
All right. Good.
Thanks for the information on dye. Okay,
so
is there any...
make that dye?
Well, I thought dye meant in terms of like an ink, you know, some kind of red dye.
Special U.S. currency. Okay, is there any objection in the...
Just a question. Why'd you drop that, excuse me,
counterfeiting?
Well, on line 12 there, because that's an arduous character. Why was that taken out?
Well, because now it has the intent requirement in it. I don't think it's necessary. In other words, you got intent to use it or to aid another to use it, so it's implied. I'm sorry to point that out.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know how many more you're going to try, but we're not going to make it through here today because at least Mr. Carpenter and I have some problems with the provisions about firearms. That I mentioned to you on Saturday, we have no proposed amendment on here.
Well, you didn't speak to me.
I spoke to Terry about it, and I thought I did speak to you, Barry, about it.
Okay.
And so even if we pass all these amendments, we're not going to make it all the way through.
Okay.
And among others, I've been going constantly since before 10 this morning. I got a meeting to chair in 2 hours, and it'd be useless for it if we go much longer.
Mr. Chairman, do you think if we have a few more minutes left, could I take the ones that are relatively short and kind of go through those and go for another 10 minutes or so?
Okay, we won't go for another hour.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to leave in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Let me quickly apply to the criminal code. It was felt that we should have a specific reference in the statute to it instead of provision in a temporary bill.
Yeah,
it's a very
no problem.
Okay, is there a motion?
I so move.
Is there any objection? There's no amendment P is enough.
Okay, just turn the next page, Q.
Q, amendment Q.
Okay, you should turn to page 39 of the bill. the committee was unanimous in this recommendation, although the Attorney General disfavored it. I don't know whether Dan did or not, but they're just denying out criminal usury as an offense. And that's not the crime of criminal usury and the crime of possession of usurious loan records.
Was this the problem that then you could never get a civil penalty because you couldn't get the civil evidence because somebody could always plead the Fifth Amendment?
Yeah, not only could he plead the Fifth Amendment, but it was simply felt that if you've got a loan shark, you go after him for extortion or assault. You don't have to rely on this. Number two, we don't have any provisions on criminal usury now. It's all dealt with civilly, and no one saw any reason why it should be a specific provision in the criminal code.
You mean, yeah, okay. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I do too.
All right. Yeah, one thing I'd forgotten about that they raised, I was here, I've been part of this on Saturday.
That's the next one.
And that was the... that was the problem.
They
get your chairman and somebody has an excuse to give you no evidence in the civil.
Chairman, there's no vice chairman.
Okay. We have got a motion with regard to the usury thing.
Okay.
Any objection? Amendment Q is passed.
Okay. Turn to page 23 of the amendment. Amendment S. This affects page 46 of the bill, which is endangering the welfare of a minor in the second degree. Committee was unanimous in this. They felt that that the conduct described there should be treated as an assault. If it wasn't an assault, it should simply be dealt with through civil proceedings against the parents, and that this statute shouldn't be in the criminal law.
Let me read it.
The example being of the mother, the neighbor who doesn't like the way the mother's treating the kid.
I thought assault had to be taken.
Well, when I say assault, I include reckless endangerment there. And reckless endangerment, which says you recklessly engage in conduct which exposes the person to a substantial risk of a serious physical injury. You don't have to actually cause any injury. And
that's
correct. This is a lesser standard. There's no question about it. This in the bill, but it was felt that it didn't reach the level of assault, that the criminal law shouldn't get involved, and we should deal with it civilly. And people were unanimous on that. You've already cut back the statute, you know, in a previous amendment. We used to have the sections on cruel confinement and cruel punishment. And again, it was felt that this stuff should be dealt with by going
within. We're willing to write a physical injury standard rather than a serious physical injury with assaults. I could go for it, but I think we ought to cover the risk of physical injury rather than serious physical injury.
Well, the problem also being, Lisa, is that it's the term physical injury is so broad that any time you have a statute that arguably allows a prosecution where you leave your kid in the car for 2 minutes while you go to, you know, you go to the store, that would be too broad.
You're talking about substantial risk.
Yeah.
And children, as a matter of fact, have died in cars when they've been left.
Well, then that's serious physical injury.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the fact is, there is a substantial risk when you leave a child in a car sometimes, because they can take the brake off.
Isn't that serious physical injury that they're being exposed to under those circumstances?
Well, that's the point. I mean, if we delete this section, then you have not committed a crime.
Oh, yeah, but if it's Chairman, with regard to this amendment, which is proposed Amendment S, it is controversy has arisen, so I suggest that we bring it up again. Maybe I'll end up agreeing with the little committee after I look at it further. Right now, I'm drifting in the direction of those questions.
Unless you want to comment
in 7 minutes. Do you guys need to go right now?
We got one little short one left.
You want to turn to littering?
No.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Well.
Okay, Barry.
In your convenience.
Larry, the thing that Larry and I are concerned about.
It's not, and believe me, it's not.
Termax gun people.
But I looked through it and I.
How are you? Okay.
I'll point out everything that's changed.
I have comments.